You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've decided to join us. We've been talking about the most recent indictment of Donald Trump, the former president of the United States, who threw into question the legitimacy of Michigan's voting system after the 2020 elections. We now want to talk with Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson about how she remembers that election, all of the controversy that was injected into the vote counting after that election, and what she's been doing before that and since to try to protect the vote here in our state. Secretary Benson, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to be back.
Great to have you here. So Trump is now being indicted for his actions during the 2020 election. Here he is claiming that his supporters were being blocked from observing the voting process in Detroit. Let's take a listen to what he said.
Detroit is another place I wouldn't say has the best reputation for election integrity. Poll workers in Michigan were duplicating ballots, but when our observers attempted to challenge the activity, those poll workers jumped in front of the volunteers to block their view so that they couldn't see what they were doing. And it became a little bit dangerous.
It became a little bit dangerous. A very stark description of the way we run our elections here in the state of Michigan. Jocelyn, tell me what your reaction was to what happened here in Detroit in 2020 and what you make of what the former president says about how we do things in the city of Detroit.
Well, I will start by saying both Detroit's elections and Michigan's elections, not just in 2020, but other times as well, have been transparent, secure, fair, and accessible. And we work every cycle to improve that in partnership with the clerks and folks all around the state, and indeed, in many cases, the country. But when it comes to 2020, we had an incredible amount of people inside what was then TCF Center, I believe. I can't never keep track of the name at one time. But the convention center in downtown Detroit, we had hundreds of observers from both parties, which we invite in every election. And it's actually, to me, a really important part of the process to be that transparent. But we draw the line when those observers cross into becoming disruptive and try to actually interfere with the counting of valid votes. And to a certain extent, that happened in 2020. It's been attempted other times as well. And we have a very strict policy. And I shouldn't say we, because it's not like I'm there, but you have staff from the Detroit City Clerk's Office in particular, as well as former Michigan Elections Director Chris Chalmers, who's been and was in 2020 advising the city of Detroit and helping them with the procedures, making sure that everything's going smoothly. And so anytime anyone disrupts those procedures, tries to intimidate a poll worker or anyone else from counting a valid vote or block the process, then they will be removed, and rightfully so, under the law. So you have a conflagration of all of those things happening, but at the same time, you have then politicians coming in, including the former president, trying to cast aspersions falsely on the process with zero evidence. When media crew show up, they accuse media crew, as this happened in 2020, of bringing in ballots in late at night, which was quickly debunked, but still out there as a conspiracy theory. And so what it became was a combination of the city of Detroit and all throughout Michigan, us having a very transparent by the book process. Then in the eye of this conspiracy storm and then individuals who were motivated through those conspiracies to try to interfere with the process, while we simply can try to protect the safety of the workers and the process itself from those who would try to disrupt it, while also trying to maintain those transparency goals and other pieces too.
Yeah. I think one of the things we've learned from the recent indictment is how extensive the efforts were to try to disrupt the counting of ballots and then, of course, the certification of those ballots in Washington. I want to talk just a little about how narrowly we avoided that kind of disruption and how close we came to maybe not being able to have the votes that were cast counted for the person they were mostly cast for. What were the probabilities or the possibilities, I guess, from what the president was trying to do in that window between November of 2020 and January of 2021?
Well, you know, I vividly remember being on a call with the attorney general before the election, where we were, and many others were kind of gaming out the ways in which individuals could try to disrupt the process and the plan that we started to see unfolding both before and after the election. And I remember she said, my God, they could succeed in overturning these election results, and or, you know, regardless of what they are. And in that moment, I remember reacting internally by saying, we're going to make sure that that doesn't happen and that the law is followed. And so it was really this sheer determination and will that we all had at every level, simply make sure that whoever won any election was declared the rightful winner. And throughout the process, we were being transparent, responding to evidence of any wrongdoing, which there was none, but at the same time, keeping that North Star of truth and the will of the people as our guide and our determination. Mm-hmm. And so, we really did come very close, not just in Michigan and other states, where it turned on the decisions, frankly, made by a lot of Republicans in the legislature in response to sham legislative hearings and others, to not do what the Trump campaign allegedly was wanting them to do and pressuring them to do in trying to block the certification or overturn the Electoral College process or votes. And so I've said all along, in my view, ultimately, the will of the people prevailed in 2020 in Michigan and elsewhere, because people of integrity on both sides of the aisle did the right thing. And I'm grateful for the Republican lawmakers and other leaders around the country who said no to the president of the United States pressuring them to try to overturn a legitimate election in their state.
Yeah. I'm talking with Jocelyn Benson. She is the Secretary of State here in the state of Michigan. We're talking about the indictments yesterday of former President Donald Trump, federal indictments, four counts, that allege that he engaged in a conspiracy to commit fraud in his efforts to disrupt the certification of ballots in the 2020 election, the counting of ballots, of legitimately cast ballots in that same election. We'd love to hear from you, the listeners, during the conversation as well. Give us a call and let us know what you make of what happened here in November of 2020. Do you remember that night when there was a physical effort to disrupt the vote counting here in the city of Detroit? President Donald Trump described Detroit as totally corrupt, a place where you couldn't count on legitimate ballots being cast and counted. Also, what do you think about the way we handle elections here in the state of Michigan? Do you think that's secure enough? Is it protected enough? Or do you worry about how Michigan conducts its elections? Do you have ideas about how you think it could be better? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation that way. Jocelyn, before we get to listeners, I want to have you talk about not just what you've done since this all happened in 2020, but even before, you were really focused on the idea that we could do better with election security here in Michigan. What's the pushback against what the president said and what some folks in our state tried to do to make sure that if they were to do it again, it might not be as easy or certainly not successful?
Well, I think a couple of things. I mean, one, we always want to make sure that if there is any evidence of malfeasance or wrongdoing, then we are investigating it and addressing it. And so we always welcome that. But we don't want to conflate that with this kind of, you know, evidence-less and meritless attacks that have been really escalating, frankly, since 2020 and becoming almost a becoming a political strategy to raise money, to gain celebrity, to run for office in this state and other states, and in some cases even take over the state Republican Party. And, you know, in that scenario, we have to continue expanding the transparency, inviting people, as we do before every election, to see the machines used in an election publicly tested and verified prior to being in any election, and other different things that our clerks have been doing, hosting town halls and conversations, explaining the process, inviting people to serve as poll workers so they can see firsthand just how many secure protocols there are in place to both affirm the identity of voters and the validity of ballots before they're counted. So we're continuing to do all that and do so proudly because we believe, all of us in the election administration community, in the integrity of this process and one that's only been strengthened in some ways by our increased work to create transparency. But notably, the tactics and the allegations haven't diminished since that increase in work has happened. Mm-hmm. It's only increased in tenacity in volume and in vitriol, and that's particularly troubling. But that said, my focus, I'm hopeful that political leaders will always choose to do the right thing and follow truth and the law over lies and conjecture and conspiracies. But our focus needs to be on the voters and the citizens of Michigan and all throughout the country, because they're the ones who really have the ability to think critically, consume truthful information, and then act accordingly in supporting leaders who do the same.
So you mentioned the rhetoric and the vitriol that I think you're right to describe it as escalating and not waning as we get closer to another presidential election. I wonder if you think that there will be a similar effort, that they will try to do this again next year.
Yes, we're certainly assuming that.
Yeah.
Because it's the smart thing to do. We often say we hope for the best and prepare for the worst, because that's how, if any effort comes, whether it's from the top, a nationally coordinated effort or a grassroots effort, we have to be prepared for every potential an international effort to interfere with our elections process. Mm-hmm. And so what we learned from 2020 is two things. One, to ensure we are putting just as much attention and energy and focus on the post-election certification process, the audits and the like, as we are in the lead up to the election and on election day itself. So we'll be doing more of that. And we did more of that in 2022, which is, I believe, why you saw, one of the reasons why you saw a smoother process post-election than in 2020. But we know that it's now become a strategy to try to disrupt our elections and a way of furthering results that don't reflect the will of the people, but perhaps reflect the view of the will of a few politicians. So we're ready for that. We're mindful of the fact that the state Republican Party is led by individuals who still have not conceded or accepted the results of past elections. We're aware of the greater attention at the international scale that many international leaders and governments will have on the election results and prepared for the potential for internationally, imposed election interference as well. So we're looking at all potential vulnerabilities, as we always do. But I'm confident, because of what we came through in 2020, that democracy will prevail again. And also because we as citizens are in many ways more ready than ever before to defend our democratic process. And that's what I've also seen escalate these last few years. More people serving as poll workers, more people defending the vote alongside of all of us. And that gives me a lot of hope that we'll emerge from this moment with a healthier democracy as a result, because citizens will keep pushing for the democracy to survive, even if leaders and politicians try to stand in the way.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's go to Rich in Northville. Rich, what's on your mind?
All right, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
An official would have the right to question an election and make sure that the count is correct. It seems like there's a bias when it comes to which party does that. When Hillary Clinton and Al Gore did that, it seemed to be okay. But when someone that the mainstream doesn't want to see in office, just been fighting ever since they came into the picture, which has never been done, at least in my lifetime, in the history of this country, which kind of throws red flags for me. It's like, usually, okay, we won, we lost, we accept it, we move on, and whatever.
Where were you from 2008 to 2010, Rich? The first 2 years of Barack Obama's presidency. But go ahead. Go ahead and finish your point.
Well, I voted. I usually did. But, I kind of stay out of the politics of it. You know, I think that's what this is. This is, you know, political baiting.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of race baiting. There's a lot of political baiting. And what's happening is the narrative's being flipped.
So, Rich, I do appreciate your call. I do want to correct one thing that you've said. No one is saying that Donald Trump doesn't have a right to question an election or to challenge the outcome of an election. What he's charged with, though, is engaging other people through false information that he knew was false in an effort to disenfranchise other voters. And so it's the difference between speech and fraud in the law. And I know it can be confusing, and it may seem like it's like what Hillary Clinton did or Al Gore did. But what Al Gore did when he was worried about the election results in 2000 was he went to court and filed challenges to make sure that, you know, the vote counting would continue that he thought would prove him the winner. That's very different from trying to inspire essentially an illegal disruption of the vote counting and certification. I get that it's hard to make these distinctions sometimes, but it's important to pay attention to the details of what's going on. Jocelyn, I wonder if you have a reaction to Rich as well.
Yeah, I think, and I hear you, Rich, about the feeling of the political nature of all this. And what I try as a attorney and former law professor as well to try to do looking at this is just focus on the evidence. And, you know, if there is evidence of wrongdoing, if there's evidence of vote tampering, if there's evidence of fake ballots and all the other things that have been alleged, and we've all said this, and let's see it, produce that evidence, and we will investigate it and certainly hold anyone who has actively tried to commit that type of fraud in the elections process accountable. And we've done that on a small scale whenever that has occurred in different communities around the state, and there's a record of that. And so where there's evidence, then I think there needs to be a response. But when there's no evidence, or when there's been no evidence produced, or when evidence has been debunked, then at that point, I think truth has to prevail and the law has to prevail, enabling us to go forward, regardless of what political party is benefited by that, in my view, because that actually does keep politics out of it and keeps the law and the truth as our North Star. And so I would encourage you to also go to a fact check webpage that we have set up and has been updated for the last several years. Every time we hear an allegation or a question about the election or concerns about it or even the process itself, we answer that with facts at michigan.gov/SOS fact check. And if there are things that aren't answered there, you can submit them for additional responses. But we're very much just focused on making sure when there's evidence of wrongdoing, we pursue it. And in this case, the evidence of wrongdoing was on a former president who, despite the lack of evidence of wrongdoing in an election, continued to cast aspersions on the process. I would argue knowingly that there was no data to back it up, but only to further political goals and partisan goals and disrupt and create chaos. And that is, in my view, what we're really trying to fight, because all of us should recognize that's not who we are as Americans. And I believe both parties can ultimately, hopefully, or citizens who affiliate with either party could see that we need to have a process that works and is secure, and then respect the results of that process, even if we don't agree with them.
Yeah. And again, Rich, I really do appreciate you listening. I appreciate you calling and wanting to be part of the program, even though we probably would disagree on about 90% of the things we talk about with regard to politics. I love the rich tapestry of opinions that we get here on Detroit Today. I want to go next to Destiny in Royal Oak. Destiny, what's on your mind?
Hey there. I just had to call in and say that I was a poll worker that night at the Cobo or the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want everyone to know about being there was the poll workers, we take an oath to the Constitution of the U.S. and the state first thing in the morning when we show up. We take that seriously. We're there because we care about people's right to vote. The poll workers, all the employees of the City of Detroit Clerk's Office, they were fair. They were organized. they were kind in the face of really aggressive Republican poll watchers.
Mm-hmm.
And when things really started to heat up and people started showing up and chanting stop the count and all that stuff, we were actually counting the votes of our service members, of our men and women who are serving. And for all the talk about, you know, from the Republican side about how much they care about the military and blah, 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 they wanted to disenfranchise the folks who are serving this country.
Mm-hmm.
And it was scary. We were escorted out a back door by security so that we weren't, you know, so that the people amassing and pounding on the windows trying to get in did not know when or where we were leaving.
Right. Destiny, I'm really glad you called, because that first person perspective is really important. That was a very disturbing and at times frightening night here in downtown Detroit. And what was being attempted, of course, was even scarier in the sense of the threat to our republic. Jocelyn, I've got just about a minute left before I need to end the segment, but I want to give you a chance to respond to Destiny as well.
Thank you, Destiny, for your service, and to all the poll workers who have lived through on the front lines what many of us have seen over these last few years, because you are the reason that democracy has prevailed. You are the heroes in our elections process and our democracy itself. So thank you. And I encourage others on both sides of the aisle to consider serving as poll workers as well, because you'll see both how above board and secure the process is.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll also have an opportunity to tell the same story she has just told about the work, not just the pressure, but also the work that we proudly do to ensure, no matter who someone votes for, that their vote is counted.
Yeah. Okay, Jocelyn Benson, always great to have you here to talk about elections and election reform and security here on Detroit Today. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you for the great conversation, as always, Stephen.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about the Trump indictment and the consequences for him and the GOP. This time, we're going to welcome a Trump voter who was originally from Michigan to the conversation. Hear what he makes of this, whether he's still supporting the former president. Also want to continue to hear from you on the phones and on social. Got a few folks still hanging on. Hang in there. We'll try to get to you as well. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.